morning. It's good to be with you again, beloved. It's an hour early for me. I got an hour and some minutes to speak. I hope you don't. There are no windows here to fall out of. So you're in good shape. A joy to be with you. A joy to be able to remember the Lord this morning. What wonderful thoughts were shared by God's people. There's no place like being around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak of him to the Father. You know, Joseph told his brethren after he revealed himself to them, he says, "Go and tell my father of all my glories that you have seen in Egypt. And bring him down here." He needs to see as well, not only to hear, but to see. We saw what he got a foretaste of what it was like for Joseph, and he saw the carriage. He says there was no more spirit left in him. He said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just thought I'd share that. That came to my mind. But we're going to go to Mount Moriah this morning, beloved, in Genesis in chapter 22. And you read this over and over again, and certain things would come to your mind, and you would the Lord would bring certain precious truths to you. And the three things that we're going to look at as we visit again Mount Moriah. Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Every time I read this, I want to look at Isaac the son. And there's so many things about Isaac the son. But I would resist that this morning because Isaac the son is such a wonderful type of a blessed redeemer. What we want to look at today, beloved, is the on Mount Moriah. It's a time, and it's about a place, and it's about an event. A time. You know, God always works on time, and God expects us to be ready at His command. And we have a tendency to want to put things off, especially if we don't like what the Lord is revealing. But in the case of Abraham, the time was early in the morning, without delay. God had made it clear to him he was not negotiating. God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." And all these things are true of Abraham and Isaac, beloved. But you know, for Abraham, it was about doing the Lord's will, and sometimes we hesitate because, you know, well, let me ask someone else. Let me run this by this brother. See if this makes sense. Beloved, in the God's instructions and our response to God's instructions, it doesn't have to make sense to us. Abraham obeyed. When God called him first, he obeyed and he went out and he didn't know where he was going. That's what the Bible says. Didn't make sense. Didn't make sense to the neighbors. Ever see him packing the mules and everything else and asking where you were going? Where you going, Abraham? He said, "I'm moving. Where you going?" "I don't know." That doesn't make sense. God promised him a son, and God said to him, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." And before he was married, before he had any children, God said, "Go and take him and offer him for a burnt offering." And Abraham obeyed. He got up early in the morning. He got ready for that journey. We're going to link what we're saying here in Genesis to another time and another place and another event. In the case of Abraham, he got up early in the morning. He was ready. He was prepared. He was obedient. And he did not procrastinate. He did not hesitate, because God didn't call him to a session of negotiation. He called him to do his will, to obey his command. And the reason why I said we're gonna link this with another time, another place, and another event, because we go to the New Testament, and when it comes to the Son of God, he was, the Bible says, he was obedient unto death. A time. He came on schedule, according to Galatians 4, when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And when the Lord Jesus came, the Lord Jesus always was ready to do his Father's will. He was not hesitant. He did not delay. There were those who wanted to take him prematurely. He would say things that would bother them. He would assert his deity. He would tell them who he was. And on more than one occasion, the Bible says, they would take up stones to stone him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour had not yet come. If it were up to the Jews and up to all his antagonists, they would have stoned him to death. But they couldn't, because the Lord Jesus knew exactly why he came. And the Bible tells us that he would die according to the scriptures. And he would die on time, on schedule. Abraham rose up early in the morning. A time, place, and an event. We're reading Luke in chapter 23, and when, that's the time. And when, not before, when they were come to the place, that's the place, called Calvary, the event was there. At that place, they crucified him. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he went onto the place. He would go to the place exactly where the Lord would have him go. Went to the place. Abraham, as he journeyed on the third day, he saw the place. He saw the place. He did not turn back. Then in verse 9, they came. You know, going back to the time, beloved, his, in the case of the Lord Jesus, his hour had not yet come. And for Abraham, he wanted to do the will of God. He was steadfast. He was not weak in faith, the Bible says. And even though to us and to the human mind it didn't make sense, but for Abraham it did, because he said, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. The Lord faced that time, and no one would take him before his time, God's time. When his time had come, he would not resist. When his time had fully come, he would surrender. He would surrender, but not before. Not before. They couldn't stone him to death, because he would die according to the scriptures. And according to the scriptures, he would be lifted up. And he keep telling them, I would be lifted up. He must fulfill what the scripture says, that he that is hung on a tree is accursed. And he was going to be hung on a tree. So they couldn't stone him to death. That was the Jewish form of execution. They would stone you to death. And they made many attempts, but he would get out of their midst. And they couldn't do it, because his hour had not yet come. But you know, beloved, his hour did come. And what did he say? Did he resist? No, like Abraham, his hour had come, and he said, he surrendered. He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now it's the time. He unresistingly went with them to that place. This is your hour and the power of darkness. But he looked forward to that hour. He looked forward to that time. It was not a place of joy. It was not a place of peace. It was not a place where he had a party. It was a place of suffering. And he had a foretaste of that on more than one occasion. But in the Gospel of Luke, he says, as the horrors of that place and the horrors of that event loom before him, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, but how am I pained or constrained until it be accomplished? It was a painful time for him. He knew when the time had come, you know, and you know, Judas, he knew all along it was going to be Judas, and he told his disciples that, you know, one of you are going to betray me. You know, they keep asking, and Lord, is it I? Is it I? When the time came, he said to Judas Iscariot, what thou doest, do quickly. It's time. It's time. And that traitor went out, and the Bible says, it was night. It was night. That benighted soul went out into the dark. He never saw the light of day after that. A time, a place called Calvary, a place of a skull, place of a skull. Many things we are told of that place. It was foreshadowed in the Old Testament and in the sin offering. You know, the blood that was shed and sprinkled there in the holy place, the blood of the sin offering. The Bible says that the bodies of those beasts were taken outside the camp and burned. It says Jesus also, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. They put him outside the city gate, and it was there that he suffered. What a place. What a place. Abraham came to the place. There's something significant about Abraham coming to the place. You notice now this is where we get interesting, beloved. You know, it was Abraham and Isaac. It was now between the father and the son. Between the father and the son. He left the young men with the donkey. He says, you stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We go into that specific place or that specific mountain there on Moriah. I suppose there were several, because God says, upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Now it's between the Father and the Son. The servants did not hear the conversation. They did not witness the interaction between Abraham and his son. They didn't hear the questions of Isaac. My father, I see the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb? He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You know, beloved, it's always to visit and to look at first mention. And the first mention of worship in the Bible is right here in Genesis chapter 22. And the first mention of worship involves giving. First of all, giving to God. And that's the aspect of the burnt offering. And that's the kind of offering that Abraham was going to offer to the Lord. It was a burnt offering. It involves giving. It involves sacrifice. It involves leaving the things of time and sense, separating yourselves from all the domestic stuff. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship in the congestion of the world. You have to separate yourself. You got to go to a place, that place of quiet rest, near to the heart of God. You got to leave the things of time and sense. You have to move on. You have to, in spirit, that is, and you have to go to that place. I go yonder and worship. It's between the Father and the Son. You know, beloved, many saw the sufferings of our Lord. They saw the brutalities that were meted out to him. They saw when he was ridiculed and heard everything. And they saw him after he was scourged and he no longer looked like the Son of Man. His disciples, they saw him. Others saw him. But there came a time, beloved, when it was just between the Father and the Son. When he went to Gethsemane, beloved, he left the disciples in one spot, and he'd take Peter, James, and John to another spot, and then he left them, and it says that he went yonder to pray. The same language is used. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. When he went yonder to pray, it was just between the Father and the Son. Peter and James and John, they did not hear a word. They were sleeping, but he was gone. Now, between the Father and the Son. And that intimacy, that sad prayer, that unburdening of his soul to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He went three times, but you notice he would come back to the disciples, you'd find them asleep, but then he would go again yonder and pray. Because it is just between the Father and the Son. When we think of Golgotha, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think it's in the same vicinity, as a matter of fact, the same mountain, there in on Golgotha, on Calvary, where the Son of God gave his life. Disciples saw, everyone saw. As a matter of fact, as he was there on the cross hanging, and the soldiers were exhausted, the Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there. They saw him. They watched him there. But there came a time when he was enveloped in darkness, and that was when it was between the Father and the Son. The hymn writer says, yet none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. They didn't see what happened, that transaction that went on between the Father and the Son, when God the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. When his soul was made an offering for our sin. Between the Father and the Son. You know, you go back to the Levitical offerings back in Leviticus chapter 2. And there's the oblation there in the meat offering. Certain offerings were evident to those who were around it because it was offered. It was prepared in a frying pan and all saw it. They saw in the frying pan. But there was an aspect of that offering that was baked in the oven. He couldn't see it. It was inside. And that represents the darkness that our Lord passed through. When his Father dealt with him, that despairing cry came from the dark. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord Jesus, tarry here while I go yonder and pray between the Father and the Son. Place the event event. There they crucified him. On Golgotha's hill. I want to say something else about the offering, and I'll get back to this, about the offering. I said it was a burnt offering. And the burnt offering in the Old Testament, it was all for the Lord. It was all for the Lord. And it represented the beauty of the Lord Jesus, the acceptability of his offering, giving himself without spot to God. It was holy for the Lord. Holy for the Lord. I can think of three aspects of the burnt offering, and this was the first one here in the case of Abraham, and he did offer him his son to the Lord as a burnt offering. He did. It's the Lord that stopped him, but as far as Abraham was concerned, he offered his son. He slayed his son. Only God could have stopped him. And he provided a substitute. But that was a burnt offering. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he offered himself without spot to God, according to Ephesians 5. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, he offered himself without spot to God in delight. It was a burnt. That was the burnt offering aspect of his offering, of his sacrifice. But there's another event that happened in that place where a burnt offering was made, and that was in the case of King David. If you go back to, well, let's just read the Second Chronicles. Let's just read Second Chronicles chapter 3 because it's the same place. Sorry, I'm so slow here. But I know you're there already. Anyhow, verse 1 says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, same place, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place of David, the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And you know the story well, that the plagues were upon the people, and David had to offer a burnt offering unto the Lord in order to avert the plague, in order for the plagues to stop. And he went, and this one portion says Ornan, and the other says Aruna. I think it's the same event, same person. And Aruna see him, and he said, oh, he bowed down to the king and said, you can have it all. Whatever you need, you just say, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you the threshing floor. I'll give you the threshing instruments. I'll give you the bullock. I'll give it all to you. And David said, no, but I will buy it at a price. At a price. Because, you see, beloved, worship costs. Worship is not free. And we need to understand that. You don't just pick up worship on your way here. You prepare for worship. You sacrifice. You spend time before the Lord. It's going to cost you. It cost Abraham his son. And so Abraham said, David said, no, but I will buy it at a price. I will pay for it. For I will not offer unto the Lord a burnt offering of that which doth cost me nothing. Worship costs, beloved. Worship costs. That's why we read in John chapter 12 that when Mary of Bethany opened that alabaster box, it was of precious ointment. It was costly. And everybody knew it was worship because the whole room was filled with the odor of the ointment. It's on the same mountain, Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, where David offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. He paid the full price. The full price. The full price. He bought it and he offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. It was there. You can some people call it the Temple Mount. It's still there. The place is still there. Still there. On that mountain. Mount Moriah. Golgotha. The threshing floor of Arunna. Right there in that mount where David offered a sacrifice, a burnt offering unto the Lord. The Lord accepted it. And the plague was averted. Let me just say a few things about that place that comes to mind, beloved, if we go back to that place. It was a place of sacrifice. A place of sacrifice. That has already been established. God says, offer him there as a burnt offering. It was a place of sacrifice. In the case of Isaac, there was a substitute, and that I believe that the Lord Jesus was referring to. You know, Abraham could not have been happy, but he was obedient. The Lord Jesus told his antagonist there in John chapter 8. He says, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. He saw it and was glad. So you can say to my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He rejoiced to see my day. Abraham looked forward. He saw the Lord as the substitute who would bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Place of sacrifice, a place of submission. Submission. You know, Isaac was no baby. And however old he was, when he was 14 or 15 or 17, whatever age he was, Abraham was 100 years older. And he had to be submissive. I don't think if he was unwilling, Abraham could have taken him. Picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came to the place of sacrifice, he came to the place of submission. He came to the place of substitution. A ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Substitution. No, beloved, we know of substitution. We know of our blessed Redeemer, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That substitution took our place. We had this verse read this morning. For Christ also has suffered for sins. Substitution, the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's efficacy. Accomplishing its intended result. Bring us to God, and that's why we are here. Place of substitution. No more clearly stated in the Old Testament about substitution than in Isaiah 53. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Substitution. He took our place. That's what we see in Mount Moriah. That's what happened at Calvary. But there's more to the offering of our Lord. Not only was he the burnt offering, he offered himself without spot to God, but he also was a sin offering. There we have substitution as well, sin offering. Because he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we, his efficacy again, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have the sin offering. Christ suffered for us. A time early in the morning. You know, that's when they took our Lord up to Calvary's hill. It was early in the morning. There's a brother that sings a song that says that it was at daybreak. One morning, past daybreak, they led him away to the place of a skull. No resistance. If you have come for me, he said to them, then let these go their way. He said to his disciples, as Judas was leading the band to come to him, he says, it is time, he said, the hour is come. We thank God this morning, beloved, that for that time, that time when he willingly surrendered his life. He would say, for that, he says, my soul is troubled. And he was, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. We are glad for that hour. That time, that special time. Thank God for the place. One hymn writer describes it as a trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. The place. When they were come to the place, thank God for the event. There they crucified him. There he died. A king crucified to save a poor sinner like me. Good to be with you, beloved. Bless the Lord for your faithfulness and your kindness in having us time and again. It's always a joy to be with you. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for that special time when the Lord Jesus surrendered himself. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. We thank thee for that place, the the place where he died, the place of a skull, the place where all can see as he was lifted up. For he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was speaking of the death that he should die. We thank you for that event where he willingly, he laid down his life. He suffered the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We ask thy blessing on the word, the hearts of thy people. Encourage the saints, and bless them and make them a blessing. If there are any who have not come to that place, because there's room at the cross still, let it come today and trust him. And receive him as their Savior and Lord. We pray and give thanks as we ask thy blessing in parting. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.